Well, hello everyone, Mark Howard, and I just started the recording, and if all of you received an email about this teleseminar, you'll receive the recording in a few days. So thank you for joining. Before we get started today, I just wanted to remind everyone, I'm really looking forward to this public talk I'm going to be doing in June. I was invited to give this talk in it'll be in London, and on the email when we're sending you the recording, there'll be a link for information. If you can't be in person, there's a virtual option to it, so look for that and see. It'd be great if you're able to make it, to see in person. So today I wanted to share with you something that I, in listening to Sidney Banks, he shared with us on this audio tape that was profound. It just gave me a beautiful feeling. I just relaxed again about myself. And that was the title today. Here's what he said. You're not who you think you are. You're something nicer. Far better, really nice. Isn't that wonderful? You know, he shared, there are a few quotes of his that have struck me profoundly that remind me and all of us that we are these beautiful feelings, and we have within us right now all the happiness and well-being and self-esteem and love that we can imagine. And when I heard him share this, it again helped me see that, you know, we think so much of ourselves, and a lot of it is in a limiting way, you know, by making comparisons, or being judgmental, or getting into shoulds or ought tos, you know, and with just a few of those words, he just pointed me to the fact that we're really nice. Our true nature is really nice. And the only thing taking us away from really feeling that even is the learned thinking that goes on in our minds about ourselves. Now, it's not that any of that's wrong. That's really important to see. There's no way we can get away from thinking about ourselves. I mean, we can certainly lessen it. We don't have to take thinking about ourselves out to a dinner and just continue to, you know, embrace it. For sure we can do that. But we'll not get away from having thoughts come into our minds that focus on ourselves. Maybe getting envious of somebody else being successful or having a nice relationship or things like that. And this was a nice reminder once again that we're more than we think we are. You know, even if you get filled with beautiful feelings about yourself and self-esteem, you're even nicer than that. I mean, there's no end to being able to find our true nature where we are, you know, pure love and understanding. And in that space, really be able to enjoy our lives and be happy with other people and connect deeply with other people. So I wanted to share that with you, excuse me, because isn't that isn't that just relaxing to hear? You're something nicer, far better, you know, and really nice. It's just kind of so kind to point us in that direction. And even if you can't imagine that you can really be really nice inside, you just let this be. See if you could reflect on it. Don't question it with your intellect. Just kind of stay reflective and let it sit with you and see if something doesn't awaken in you that kind of takes you beyond self-critical thinking. Because we're meant to live way beyond how we think about ourselves. We're meant to live, as I mentioned before, in other webinars and on my YouTube channel, we're meant to live in happiness and well-being. That's our natural state. And really, the only thing, it's not your life circumstances. It's not the people around you. It's just that we grew up developing habits of thinking about ourselves in a critical fashion, where we either have learned to compare ourselves or judge ourselves, feel guilty about ourselves, things like that. And again, this statement by Sid is a reminder we're way beyond that. We're not that. I mean, I can remember so many times as a kid growing up as a youngster, getting in situations where I started to learn to think about myself. I know I share already, you know, that teacher in the first grade who graphed on a graph in full view of everyone our progress in math that whole year. But it also happened in other areas. I remember I played sports for our school, and I wasn't that good in baseball here in the States, in baseball. I just couldn't really hit the ball well. And as I was, you know, on that team and people were really hitting the ball, I started to feel bad about myself in comparison. And, you know, I had some human-made idea or expectation. And when I realized I couldn't meet it, it supposedly meant something about me. That's how the world of beliefs about ourselves works. You look at some expectation, you take it on, and you believe it says something about you if you can't meet the expectation. Including, I've seen people, even including people who are listening to Sid or beginning to learn about the principles. They'll even use that about how well they're doing. I remember, you know, in the first year or so as I was learning this understanding, and there was a small group of us meeting regularly here in the San Francisco Bay Area. This is like 1983. And we'd get into being critical of ourselves for something like, well, if I really understood these teachings of Sid, I wouldn't get upset, you know? I wouldn't be bothered. So all I'm sharing with all of that is, we just develop these expectations. They're human-made, these expectations. They exist in this world we would call the world of form, you know, the physical world, the biological world. And then we measure ourselves to these expectations. Like, man, if I knew the principles, I wouldn't do this. Well, again, you see, another way to think about ourselves that leads to low self-esteem, as they would call it, or, you know, another hour or so of not feeling good about yourself. Sometimes that could go on for years, because I've seen people in my psychiatry practice who are in that not thinking good at all about themselves for many, many years. But it's a beautiful experience to see people rise above that, because they realize that they just think of themselves in a critical way. They're not really what they think. They're, as Sid said, you're something nicer, far better. You're really nice. And to just sit and believe it, you know, finally just give yourself the opportunity to believe that that's true. He shared this before with us, as I mentioned with you, you know, when we talked about self-esteem. Everybody has self-esteem were it not for their silly beliefs. Well, that's the same thing as you're more than you think you are. You're something nicer, far better. Same thing. And you want to begin to look in that direction. You just want to invite that you can actually be nicer than you think, that you truly are an energy that is filled with love and happiness. And also the wisdom to be yourself in life, the wisdom to know how to express yourself in life, the wisdom to know how to create in life. Sid would call it like just being able to look at life and see it through common sense. Like if acting in a certain way isn't good for you, then the common sense would be not to do it, you know? But we get compelled. But once you realize that's just beliefs you're caught up in, expectations that are human-made that you're trying to make yourself follow, once you can realize that with an insight, not intellectually, but you really see that, you'll drop into you're nicer, you know, that niceness. But for me, it's just, again, as I'm sharing this with you today, and heard that from Sid this month while I was walking, it just took care of me. I was able to just relax another level about thinking about myself in my work or in my relationships. And thereby relaxing that, I was much more available to be loving and understanding, to use common sense, and to not have to filter my niceness through ideas about myself. That's all. All that it is that we just learned ways to think about ourselves that really aren't true. We're following ideas that were given to us, and then we had thinking about it, and now we're following that. So again, you know, when I couldn't hit that ball well in baseball well in games, I started to feel bad. Now, there's nothing, you know, natural about being in this game and it meaning that you should feel bad about yourself. It doesn't exist in the game. It exists only in the way that I started to think about myself, because I was comparing myself to people who were better skilled. And I had, as a youngster, I had expectations that I was going to be the next, out here in North America, the best home run hitter, you know? So when reality caught up to that, I made judgments about myself. But it's just an innocent thing about coming into life. No one escapes this. However, as you all know, being part of these teleseminars, we can recognize what we're doing. We can see like, oh, there I go again, making that comparison, like I did when I was a first grader in that math class. That's all I'm doing, except the comparisons are bigger and they seem more important. But it's the same flavor of thought. That's all it is, same flavor of thought in a new disguise, a more important disguise. But the more we can recognize that, see that that's just our learned ways of thinking, that helps us quiet. So we drop into that place in us where we're much more, when we're nicer than what we could ever imagine ourselves to be. We're far better. And that's really the saving grace of Sid's teachings and the principles, is that we can recognize how we're using thought. We can see we're using it against ourselves or we're using it in our favor. And again, no judgment about it. The recognition is enough. If you can see that you're a bit off with your thinking and see that you are without judging it like we did early on, like, oh, wait a minute. If I understood the three principles, I wouldn't be thinking this way. I wouldn't get angry. I wouldn't get worried. If you can look at just realizing, oh, there I go again, and let it be, you'll soon drop back into the state of being much nicer than you can imagine. I had a client that I was mentoring last year, and as we talked about this, over several sessions, she came up with an insight about how she was starting to relate to her habitual thinking that I thought was beautiful. She said, you know, Mark, I started losing interest in my habits, my habitual thoughts. Isn't that cool? Losing interest. So it had no sense that you should get over your thinking about yourself quickly. It has no judgment like that on that. It's just that I'm starting to lose interest. And that to me is kind of an easygoing way to do it. You know, and you're more interested. She didn't say this, but since my hearing that and reflecting on it, we're more interested in living in love and understanding, moving ourselves in the direction of opening up to the possibility that we are much nicer than we can think we are, that we're far better than we could ever imagine ourselves to be, you see? And so you stay in a stance of just losing interest, turning the dial down, the loudness on the music down. But I just love that. And that's how you want to look at yourself when you recognize you're caught up in your ought to's or your should's, or you're caught up in your comparisons or whatever that is that you think about yourself, you know? Is that just want to lose interest in it? You don't want to give it so much credit in your life or so much importance. It'll never guide you to how you should be living life. There's a should, you know, I don't mean it that way. It looks like how you're meant to live life. You're meant to live happy, with love and understanding, letting yourself be guided by the intelligence of mind, in the flow of life, rather than trying to control that flow with how you show up. Well, I wanted to share this with you today because that when I heard Sid share this about how we think about ourselves, you know, on my walk a couple of weeks ago, I wanted us to just have a chance to sit in it together in on my teleseminar. Isn't that beautiful that he could share this with us and bring a calm to our minds? So what I wanted to do, as I do with my teleseminars, is hear from you. Is there anything from today so far that has made sense to you or you have a question about? Or how about what Sid's teachings or the principles? Do you have anything to share about that? Or do you have questions about this understanding? And I'd love to hear from you. That's why we're together. To do that, you need to press star 2 on your phone. Pressing star 2 on your phone, you come up here on my computer screen, so I know then that we can talk together. So someone start us off if you have something you want to share with today's topic. Have a question about it, have a question in general, press star 2. Hi, who's this?
Hello, this is Daniel from Sweden.
Oh, hi, Daniel. Hi.
Hi. So I thought it was really interesting what you said about your client that lost her interest. I did recognize that myself because around 2.5 years ago, I just decided, well, I'm gonna quit drinking. I wouldn't say I was alcoholic or anything, but I like wine and nice wine and beers and stuff like that. But then one morning after celebrating my brother on a restaurant, I was quite heavy the day after, I would say. And I felt like, you know what? I'm quite tired of this. I want to be a good role model for my kids and I want to have a fresh mind. So I thought, like, yeah, maybe I should stop. And then, like, I started to think, yeah, maybe, but it's not, maybe it's a good time because soon it's New Year and then another thing going to happen. Then suddenly I heard, like, my own voice, like, yeah, but I will always find an excuse to drink.
Yeah.
And then I say, well, I'm going to go for it and see how it goes. And after a while, I talked to a friend of mine. He said, it sounds like you lost your interest in drinking.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's true. So it's stop drinking and I'm a trained sommelier and I loved wine and had a lot of wines before and so a big interest in it. It was no effort when I lost interest in it. It was effortless in some way to stop in this case.
So Daniel, yeah,
that was interesting.
Great. Yeah. Daniel, thank you so much for sharing that, you know, and it really is the spirit. That really is the spirit of what this client shared. I hadn't seen it this way before, of just living in your life and having lost interest in thoughts that made you feel bad about yourself. You know, that's what my client had shared. Isn't that a beautiful shift? It really is a shift in what Sid would call level of consciousness. And that happened for you. That's the piece of that, losing interest. It's like, it's a beautiful space to live in because it's not forced, you know? Like when she shared it, it wasn't forced. Like she wasn't making an effort. It was just a moment of an insight, you know, that somehow she saw that, you know, this wasn't good for me. And as she was deepening her understanding of the principles, that occurred to her. She wasn't interested in making comparisons of herself with other colleagues of her, of her that she would do habitually and feel bad. So thank you for sharing that, Daniel. And really, you know, that space that you found could be really helpful to people, you know, because I worked, I'm not saying that you at all had anything to do with addiction, but that's the field I worked in for 28 years. And you could really see that when people live, people could live beyond their alcohol or drug use because they're just not interested there anymore. And what started to happen for my client is that she started to have nicer feelings show up. And so she got interested in those, you know. Thank you, Daniel. Really great to hear from you.
Thank you.
And let's see. There's someone. Oh, Marcella. Hi, Marcella.
Hi. Hi, Mark. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Nice to have you here.
Hello. Hello. It's nice to be here. And I just wanted to say thank you for those previous calls because it was so nice about the feeling and about just directing ourselves to the good feeling and forgiveness. So thank you for that too. And I just wanted to relate to that what has been just said, that this losing interest is to me and to my experience also something huge. And yet sometimes in those things where we just innocently slip because it has been something which has been happening for a longer time, we sometimes just forget. And then yet I can remember that, oh, there I go again, as you say so beautifully. And I can just remember. And to me, it has been really helpful, Mark, how you pointed us last time and before to that nice feeling. Just notice it more and direct ourselves to that, to whatever we just love and see it all around us and just be thankful for that. So this has been a shortcut to that to me too. So and on the other hand, also to accept, as you said last time or before that, and to be gentle to ourselves if we forget sometimes. And yet we get interested again in those bad habits, but we can again remember and lose interest. So that was what I wanted to say.
All right. Thank you, Marcella. Thank you so much. I'm so happy you joined us. And you said, again, some wonderful things that really are helpful to all of us, you know. And, again, you know, it's to remember that we are human. This doesn't mean you get rid of these habitual thoughts. But what you said is really the grace of this understanding, the grace of understanding Sid's words is that you remember. You remember, oh, my God, there I go again. Like, that's what I say, you know. But you remember you're using this gift of thought in the wrong way for you. Something like that, you remember. That's the key.
Yeah.
That's why this is such a powerful understanding for people, because once you get a glimmer of it, you find your own way. It's not like there's a strategy. So you can just be human, which is that sometimes you see the truth. Sometimes you really get, oh, yeah, I'm something nicer. And then other times you're caught up in, how the heck could I have done that? You know, what's wrong with me, you know? But
yeah,
then you remember. So thank you for that. That's really the key here, is that when we remember, and be patient with ourselves, really, and also gentle. Isn't it something, you brought this up too, as so did Daniel, how my client talked about losing interest, but isn't that a beautiful space to live in? You know, isn't that beautiful to just kind of have the outlook that, you know, I'm just gonna go about my day losing interest in judging myself or whatever, you know? I'm just gonna live in a losing interest mode. We can do that, you know? We can just put ourselves into that. I remember when I talked with you and everybody here on various teleseminars, one of the things that really helped me was early on, Sid would say in a seminar, he would say, you know, it's just love and understanding. And I knew I could do that. I knew I could point myself to love and understanding. And he helped me see that's the way to live. I started to trust it more. And so I, at my best now, at my best, I would remember to go to love and understanding. You know, I'd get caught up. I'd be bothered by somebody, my colleagues at work or my family. And I would remember, like you were saying, Marcella, oh, yeah, that's just my thinking, you know. And I would drop in and then drop out of that. And then I would go back to love and understanding. And it was really helpful to point myself in that direction. And Sid saying it, for some reason, gave me the, I knew that that was true. That if I could move in love and to love and understanding, I have a wonderful life, you know, a happy life. And it's the same here with losing interest. You can point yourself in that direction. You could start to just kind of ask the intelligence of mind to help you see that when you're caught up in your thinking about yourself, that you just want to lose interest in that. So thank you, Marcella. Thank you, Daniel. Anybody else want to share with us today? Do you have any questions or anything more you'd like to share? Let's see. I only have a phone number, but, oh, gosh, we have a few people. So this phone number says 467-295. Who was the first person that did start to? You can just start talking.
It was me.
Hello?
Maybe Daniel. What was the name? What was the number?
Oh, it's Daniel. Did you...
I haven't pushed again, so
okay, great. Okay, and then who else pressed? If you could just start talking.
Oh,
hello.
Hello, do you hear
hello.
Me?
Hello. Yes.
Hello, it's Alberto here from Madrid.
Oh, Alberto, hi. Nice for you to join us. Yeah.
Yes, great to hear you, and thank you to Daniel and Marcella for sharing their experience. It's very rewarding to hear this, and you know, it sounds like true, and is, you know, it's like a good direction to go when you know what happens to me is that I have a feeling often that I have to prove myself, and for a long time, even since I was a child, and now I find myself trying to prove myself when I'm with people I don't know, and I have to say it has served me in a way, it has worked for me in a way, but it has never made me happy, and it's a good thing to be nice to me, to remember that, because otherwise it sounds like pushing myself, not treating myself well.
Yeah.
And so it's a good place. I don't know. It's a good place to be, you know, or to know there is a good place to go, to know that, you know, because I forget. I tend to think that there is an urgency to prove or to, and I forget about anything else. So just sharing that, just knowing the feeling, or knowing there is a feeling there that I've experienced, like in this call, is good. It's a good thing to have.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful, too. Isn't that nice to hear from Alberto? I love this, to know that there's a good place to go. That's kind of like a way to share what I realized in me when Sid said what I shared today as our topic. When he said, "You're something nicer," I realized, like in Alberto's words, there's a good place to go, to just know that. See, to just know that. Isn't that wonderful? And Alberto, that's all. That's just kind of like the flavor of your thinking about yourself, is to prove yourself. It's just a learned habit you have. And we all have a different flavor of how we think about ourselves. I share a lot that I learned to compare myself. But like you said, once you remember that there's a good place to go, that you're not treating, you said this beautifully, I'm not treating myself well by thinking that way. That's beautiful. No one could come up with that except you in what you've realized. But once you see that, and we can all remember, that's what's the power of this understanding, we can help ourselves move away from those habitual thoughts, you know? Here we have, there's a store for ice cream here, and it's advertised as having 31 flavors, it's called, 31 flavors, and you have your flavor, you see, your flavor, and I have my flavor. Everybody has their flavor of thinking about themselves. But once you see that that's not treating yourself well, you begin to get some freedom from that. As we've been talking about today, that we lose interest. And then we also know that there's a good place to go. In that we're something nicer than that. So, Alberto, thank you so much for giving us that. And
thank you, Mark. Thank you all. Yeah.
And I think we have Richie on the line.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Richie.
It is Richie from Boston.
I can see
good
that.
Good to hear you.
Yeah. Great to have you here.
I love the topic. I just read what you were going to be talking about, and I got a wonderful hit off of just reading that.
Isn't that so?
Yes, and I enjoyed the sharing. And what came up for me was that through much of my life, happiness was devalued. You know, like it wasn't a good thing to be happy. And I was taught not to trust people that were happy.
Yeah.
And I remember one time being a Boy Scout and we were camping in the wintertime. So we were all in this cabin and we were all sleeping, but the scout masters and their assistants, they were chatting, and I heard one guy, a man, say to the other man, it's like, this certain boy, he's always smiling. I don't trust him. So there was a lot of conversation about that. And then I felt like happiness wasn't a good thing, and it also wasn't a natural thing, that I had to work to be happy.
Yeah.
And what a relief. What a relief to know that that's my natural way of being. But for my thinking, I'm happy.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Richie, that was beautiful. You know, I came up through that learning myself about being happy. I'll tell you a story. When I was in training for my fellowship in clinical psychology, I had a supervisor. This supervisor eventually was the one who sent two psychologists to hear Sid. But anyhow, we would meet in this clinic in a group to discuss, you know, developing our psychotherapy skills. And we would laugh. All the time we would laugh. Well, the rest of the clinic thought there was something wrong and wouldn't let us rent the space anymore because they said, how can you be so happy? Here they were, mental health professionals, and they're wondering, how can you be so happy? So thank you for pointing that out. But also, like, didn't the topic, you are more than you think, you more than you can imagine, you're something nicer, far mm-hmm. better, really nice. Didn't that knock your socks off?
It did.
Yeah, me too. But yeah, it's just, again, beautiful what you share, because were it not for our thinking, we'd be happy. We'd have self-esteem. Yes. We'd see we're much nicer than we can imagine. We'd see all of that. And it isn't about doing that or judging yourself if you're caught in your thinking. It's just knowing that that's it. And that will help. That's enough to help you kind of remember, as people were saying earlier, Daniel and Marcella, just remember, oh, yeah, my thinking's getting in the way. That's enough. And so thank you, Richie.
Thank you, Mark. Great topic.
All right. You take care.
Thank you.
And this must be Janet. Hi,
wow.
Janet.
I am so impressed.
Well, I'll tell you. If I look at it, if I see it long enough, what's it been, like a year now that Julie's
yeah,
name
probably.
Comes up?
Yes.
I'll finally
why
get it.
That happens. You don't share an account. Yeah, it's really weird. Well, I'm so good at making myself miserable. And lately, you know, I've been thinking, like, I have my finances are a disaster and due to various circumstances. And so my daughter said to me, look, you've helped us, you know, all of our lives. Now we'll help you. But there's this little naggy voice in the back of my head, like, this is not right, you know. I'm mom. I worked hard all of my life. They're not supposed to be giving me money. It should be the other way around. And so lately, I've kind of been saying to myself, like, and I don't know where this came from. I guess ninth grade English. I'm like an albatross. It's just so melodramatic. Like, you know, the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner and the albatross gets hung around his neck. And I'm like, you know, I'm not helping my kids anymore in various ways, and I'm like an albatross. And
I
thought, okay, I'm going to go through my bank account and figure how much money they've actually given me, and I'm going to figure out a way to pay them back that money. So I started going back to my bank account, and they actually haven't given me that much money. And what I did discover within a couple of years, I have given them enormous amounts of money, like way more money than I ever realized, like to help with, you know, tuition to a private school, because the schools here, the public schools, are dangerous. And I was just like, wow, you know, I've given them a small fortune in the last 10 years. So why am I beating myself up? Because it's because I go there. You know,
yeah.
It's like my negative, these habitual thought patterns are like, this is not how it's supposed to be. And I'm like, why the heck am I torturing myself? I have helped them a lot. They can help me now. So why am I torturing myself? So I was like, okay, you know what? I'm not worrying about that anymore. That's just silly. It really is. And it part of it comes from a prideful place, I guess. What society thinks about that kind of thing and how I feel about that kind of thing. But why torture myself like this?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's beautiful. And you have, so a couple of things. One is, again, you know, another saying here is, this is silly to keep thinking this way. And that's just your flavor. You know,
yeah.
We're talking with Alberto about his flavor. You've got this flavor. But what really struck me, and I think, you know, it's kind of like what we're pointing, where Sid points us to, is that, you know, their wanting to give to you is love.
Mm-hmm.
That's an expression of love. And again, you know, with our thinking about ourselves, like you were sharing with us, you could get caught up in flavors of thinking that keep you from really taking in that your daughters are giving you, are coming from love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and
yeah.
How many times I've done that myself, you know, in my life around, wait a minute, you know, I get bothered rather than seeing this is really love. And that's what occurred to me, Janet, is that your love is coming your way. And it's beautiful what you shared with us, because it's just that flavor of thinking that gets in the way of you really feeling the love. And when you see that it's just a silly thing and why am I doing this, you're starting to get free of it. Janet, thank you for that. And I need to go on as we need to close here. Marcella, one more thing here.
Oh, I just wanted to say thank you, Janet, for this. This is not how it is supposed to be, you know. And it just reminded me, again, back to your call last time and before that, how powerful it is just to see something nice in our lives, you know, that there are so many things and it has such a power if we just notice it more. So that's what I wanted to add to that. Thank you anyway.
Oh, I like, again, Janet, that's the thought. It's like, it's not supposed to be. And so, when we think, this is nothing right or wrong here, but it's just a flavor of thought we learn. And again, you know, as what I got also from Janet's story is that when you think about it in terms of your belief, your learned idea, your flavor, like this is not the way it's supposed to be, it gets in the way of you seeing your love is coming to you. So, oh my God. Thank you, everybody. I tell you, this is beautiful. Everybody that spoke to us, can't you see how it deepens our understanding? And the feeling in everyone that shared. And So this is really the ideal way I wanted our teleseminars to work. You know, I'll share a bit, but then open it up to hear the people that are here and what are you seeing? What would you like to share with us? Well, this was really beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us all today on the teleseminar. Next month, I'm going to be in London for the 3P UK conference, but before that, I'm giving a public talk. So our next teleseminar will come later in the year in June. All right, so take care, everyone. Have a good beginning of summer, and we'll talk again toward the end of June. Bye, everybody.